Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says,
amen.
We give you all the praise and all the glory. And let everything that had breath and everybody that is here and alive this morning, let everything say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. This morning I want to share a story. I wanted to preach something else, but on account of time, I will just share a story with us from the Bible. I may come back and preach this some other time when I have more time. Today, there's a wonderful story that I want to share with us from the book of John, chapter 11. John chapter 11, and I'm going to title this story as Not Dead, Only Asleep. Amen? Not dead, only asleep. Now, let's see what this story will show us. There are many aspects of this story that I want us to look at. And I'm going to pick up this story in the book of John, chapter 11. Of course, the main character in this story is our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of John, chapter 11, let's hear what this story is all about from verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. He lived in Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, it was that Mary that had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters, that's Martha and Mary, sent a message unto the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So now, this family, two sisters and one brother, they were kind of friends of Jesus, and they knew that the Lord, you know, had a soft heart for them and so forth like that. So when their brother was sick unto death, the sisters sent a message unto the Lord and said, look, our brother, we know you like all of us and so on. You know, our brother is sick. Now, here's what happened. Now, verse 4. When Jesus heard this, that Lazarus was sick, he said unto them, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, there is a way that God sees things that's different than we see things. And that's what I'm going to exhort us about for just a few minutes. Now, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and his brother Lazarus, and so forth. And then when he therefore heard, now notice this paradox in these two sentences. Now, Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. Now, when therefore that he heard that Lazarus, whom he loved, was sick, he abode two more days in the place where he was. I mean, you'd think that your friend is sick, you'd rush to the scene. Are you still with me, folks? But instead of rushing to the scene, he actually waited two more days, waited for the thing to deteriorate, waited for the man to die. Hello, folks. Are you still with me in this story? We are told that when he heard he was sick, he waited two more days in the same place where he was. He didn't even move. Although they sent a message to him, come quickly, our brother is sick. And Jesus just waited. Did as if he didn't hear anything. Now, I want to bring out some elements of this story because this happens in our lives all the time. It seems as if, you know, when we are walking close with God, when we are trying our best and doing everything we can, it seems as if sometimes we have things that befall us that are out of our control. And it seems that during those times, when we call upon the Lord, sometimes it seems as if he doesn't answer. But I tell you something, folks, he's got a plan. Amen. You know, so he already told them that, look, this sickness is not unto death, even though he knew the guy was going to die, you know, humanly speaking. But he said, this sickness is not unto death, but so that you may be able to see the glory of the Son of Man. So he went on, and the story went on. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed in the same place for 2 more days. You know, then afterwards, the disciples said, well, you know, let us go unto Judea again. Now his disciples say unto him, he said unto the disciples, let us go unto Judea again. And the disciples said, look, they're looking to kill you. Why do you want to go there? So let's move on. The part of the story that we want to move on, let's go here and see when they spoke of him that he is dead. Now, verse 12. Okay, let me start from verse 11. These things said he unto them, and then he said, look, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. After 2 days, the Lord knew that the man actually died. So the Lord now said to them, look, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. But now I am going to wake him up out of his sleep. Are you still with me, folks? And the people said, well, if he's sleeping, it will be all right. I mean, what do we need to go and wake him up out of sleep for? The man is sleeping. I mean, at some point he will wake up. Let's not waste our time going to wake him up. Let him enjoy his sleep and he wake up. Well, Jesus was using his own language. And these people were in their own realm. Now, because they did not understand the language of Jesus, so he had to switch to their own realm. And now he said unto them, plainly. Well, because they thought that the man, Jesus, that Jesus was talking about the man Lazarus taking rest in sleep. They didn't know that he was actually dead, because Jesus said the man is sleeping. So, because they didn't understand, Jesus now said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He told them in verse 14. I said, wow, Lazarus is dead. But I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to paraphrase the rest of the story. You know, if I read it, it takes a little bit longer. I'm paraphrasing the rest of it. So far, you are following the story. His friend was sick. When he heard that the friend was sick, instead of him jumping up and rushing to the place, he actually delayed a few more days until the man physically died. But to Jesus, he already said something. And there's something that he saw that the others didn't see. You know, he said, look, this sickness is not unto death. But the man died. But Jesus was operating in a different realm. His language is totally different from the others. He said, look, this man is sleeping. Nobody understood him. He said, okay, fine. Let me use your own language. This man is dead. So they said, well, you know. So everybody said, oh, wow. And then so Jesus went to the place. And then when they heard that Jesus was come, everybody, oh my, Jesus is come. So, you know, here comes Martha running unto Jesus and so forth. And she said to me, Master, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. 2 days ago or 4 days ago or whatever, 6 days ago by now, when he was dying, we sent message to you, but you didn't come. And now he's dead. Now you show up. If you would have been here, he would not have died. Praise the Lord. God will show up and he's never late. Amen. Yeah. He always shows up on his time. Not our time, but he is never late. Amen. Amen. So when she said all of that and so forth, but she quickly, see, that's the difference between the spirit, the soul, and so forth like that. Her soul, all that emotion and so forth. But quickly in her spirit, she said, and even now. And I preached a message on that. You can listen to it on our website. Nevertheless, and even now. She said, and even now, even though my brother is now dead, but even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will do it for you. So quickly in her spirit, because the Bible says the word of God in Hebrews 4 and 12 divides between the soul and the spirit. Your soul is where all those emotions are. The word of God in your spirit will cause you to think like the word of God says. Amen. Amen. Difference between the soul and the spirit. So, and Jesus said, don't worry about it. And Jesus said something very critical to her. If thou canst only believe, see, thou would see the glory of God. Now, let me read to you something that is very critical. Very critical is what is going on. He said to her, your brother, in verse 23, shall rise again. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Your brother shall rise again. And then, you know, Martha, look at what she said. She looked past what Jesus was saying, and she began to go spiritualize the thing. Well, I know that in the resurrection, he will rise again and so forth like that in the last day. And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. I am the resurrection and the life. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you have ever lost a family one? I have. My brother died a few years ago. Anybody here ever lost a family member? Brother, sister, parent, whatever? You know? And if they were believers, I mean, in your heart, you're saying, look, I know they will rise again. You know? And can you imagine Jesus coming into the place where your loved one was buried? He showed up after the burial. The burial is already over. 4 days later, the body is already stinking. You know, and Jesus is about to do some drama here. So he showed up. I mean, and he tells the person whose family member is dead, your brother will rise again. I mean, they're thinking, well, I know he will rise again in the resurrection. See, and this is the problem with us sometimes. We're always putting things off into the future when God wants to do it for you now. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I don't care if somebody's been in the grave 4 days, 4 years, 40 years, 400 years, at his voice, they will come out of that grave.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because that's what separates him from anybody that is sitting here or anybody that ever lived. Hallelujah. He is in a class and a league by himself. And he said, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And some of them, when they hear his voice, they will rise up. You know, that's in John chapter 5. They will rise up to good life. Some will rise up to condemnation and so forth. But he also said, the hour is coming and is now, that those that hear the voice of Jesus, they shall live. They shall have life in themselves. Praise the Lord. So, the story goes along. He told her, I am the resurrection and the life. And she said, well, all right, so on. But Jesus was talking about now. You know, not just, look, if you don't believe that God can raise the dead now, how are you going to believe that he's going to call those people who have been in the graves thousands of years ago and call them out? If God cannot raise the dead right now, how should we believe that he can raise the dead for all those people that have died all those thousands of years? We're kidding ourselves, folks. We got to believe that God is able to raise the dead right now.
Amen.
Right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what he was telling her. You know, and she spiritualized this. But Jesus said, do you believe this? You know, not just the resurrection, but do you believe this right now? This right now, I'm telling you. Well, she didn't have an answer for that. She went away. So they told everybody that, you know, Jesus is there and so forth. So, went and called her sister. She goes on there and everybody follows her and so forth. They think she's going to cry at the grave. So she comes there. They say, well, let's go and cry with her as well. And then, listen to this, that Jesus would say unto them. He asked them a question. Where have you buried him? Where did you bury him? They said, well, over here and so forth and all that. And Jesus said, roll away the stone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Roll away the stone, folks. Roll away the stone. I said, oh, no, he's been there 4 days already, he's stinking. Jesus looked at her and said, did I not say unto you, if thou should only believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God? Roll away the stone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when they rolled away the stone, Jesus stood in the midst of the people and said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always.
Yeah.
And I don't need to pray this prayer because I know you already heard me. The Father already showed it to him. He waited 2 days. And the Father showed it to him, and he knew exactly what he was going to do. You know, but so that these people who are here, I want them to hear it. That I'm not acting only on my own. That's why I pray. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we can come and pray and so forth. Like, we could just come and lay hands on the sick for them to be healed. We know that. We can do that. But also, we have to preach the word of God do all of these things, take the people's attention from ourselves to the Lord, so that they can believe. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, look, because of these people, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. Hallelujah. Then I looked on the grave that they had rolled away the stone, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I don't care where this man was. I don't care whether he was buried 10 years, 50 years. That day was only 4 days. But he wouldn't have made a difference if he had been buried for 100 years. He would have come forth because the master called him forth. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Jesus is the master of life and death. I have the keys of life and death, he said. He whooped the devil and he got it. And now, whatever he says goes. Hallelujah. If he say, come out of the grave, you're coming out of the grave. And one day, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, he's going to say, come out of the graves. Hallelujah. And all the graves of the saints over the years that have believed God, they are going to arise, folks. Hallelujah. And they are going to come out of those graves. And we, by the grace of God, which are alive and remain, death will not hold us down. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. We will be caught up with them. Because not only will he say, come out of the graves, he will also say, come up hither. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when he say, come up hither, folks, nothing can hold you down. Amen. Just like he said unto Peter one time. Peter said, Lord, is that you? Is that you? Bid me come on the water if that's you. And the Lord said, all right. Come on, Peter. Yeah. That's all he has to say. Amen, folks. Amen. Immediately said, come on, Peter. The water was subject to Peter. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he said, come on, Peter. The gravity, everything else, your sickness will fall. Everything will fall. They will subject to you. You are going up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You are going up to be with the Lord.
Amen. Lord.
Amen. So, for the Lord, Lazarus was not dead at all. He was only sleeping. And the Bible says this, in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. He said, look, God who raises the dead. Now, God doesn't bury the dead. Well, there's only one place in the Bible, Moses and so forth. But we don't even know what he did with him. But generally speaking, God quickens the dead. God raises the dead. He doesn't attend funeral services. In fact, if he attended a funeral service, if Jesus went to funeral home, all the graves will open up. Hallelujah! Because that's who he is. He is life. He's the very embodiment, folks, of life. I don't know how to say it to you, folks. He is light. I mean, light is encapsulated in that body. Praise God. Darkness is death. Light is life. And when you get changed into light, you will walk away from here. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Enoch became light and he was gone. Mm-hmm. Folks, this is our goal. We must be changed into that light. Change day by day into the glory of the Lord. And when you are fully changed, you're gone, folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, so now let me put it to you this way. Your dreams, your aspirations and your hopes, they're not dead. They're only asleep. Amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
If there are some things that you've been trying to do that you have not been able to accomplish, it's not dead. It's only asleep. God, who raises the dead, in Romans 4 and 17, and collect those things that are not, as though they already are. God doesn't care whether it was or it wasn't. He can call it forth and it will come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that when there was chaos all over the place at the beginning, the Holy Ghost, he moved. And when he did, God began to speak forth things. Let there be. He didn't create the light, folks. God cannot create light. God, he is light.
That's right.
All he said was, let there be light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The light was already there, but not shining in that particular situation. And God said, let that be light. Let the light begin to shine. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the things that seem dead in your life, to God they are not dead. They are only asleep. When the people in Exodus chapter 14, folks, when they were facing the Red Sea, all they saw was a Red Sea. But God saw a clear path through the sea. Hallelujah. A clear path was clear in his mind. And he told them, go forward. What are you standing there? Go forward. And they said, well, I can't. Going forward into where? Go forward. Amen. When your commander is chief, I told you to go forward. You better go forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Isaiah 43 and 18, instead of, you know, the wilderness, I see a river for you. Amen? Amen. Instead of dry places, I see waters, oases, oozing for. Say, I can create these things because he already saw it. Instead of, in Isaiah 45 and verse 2, instead of crookedness, he sees a straight path. He said, I will make straight the crooked places. You know, and this is why Jesus and the Lord always says things as if it's future. He always announces what he's going to do because that's what he's already seen. But we haven't gotten to that dimension yet. So he tells you ahead, see, I will make straight the crooked places. Because he has seen that the path for you right now, which seems crooked, Jesus already saw that it is straight. Amen. Yeah. The thing that seems to be dead, Jesus already saw that it's alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And nothing can stop his word. Now, you apply that to anything in the Word of God and everything. Anything that is negative. See, your life may be out of balance right now, but in the book of Jeremiah 29:11, God already said, what I see for you is peace, and what I see for you is goodness. Hallelujah. God doesn't see all those negative things and so forth. We, the devil, would like you to be seeing all the time. You know, what he sees for you is goodness. Amen. What he sees for you, you know, why is it so? Well, is it because there is no negative thing? No. There is negative thing. But God is not, you know, God is not busy, you know, encroaching his mind with all those kind of things. The Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Amen. To show himself strong. Amen. In behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him. Amen. Now folks, that may be a twist. God doesn't need to run anywhere. He already knows everything that is to know. Amen. However, he likes to give his angels, and God has some super beings that are beyond even what you can think or imagine. And he likes to give them some things to do. And they go and come and fall and fall, and they report to the Lord that, well, the earth is at rest, or it's not at rest, or this and that, you know. And the book of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, you can read it. Say, these seven, there's some seven mighty powers that God has, you know, angelic beings. These are the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro. Not God himself. God doesn't have to run anywhere, you know, but he sent those people out. They come and they, you know, come and report to the Lord. And Lord likes to make them feel, not people, actually beings. Likes to make them feel that they are a high, very high order of the cherubims and seraphims. And he likes that, God's principalities. And he likes to make them feel that they are doing something. You know, so they go and come and tell the Lord. God doesn't need to be told anything. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Because Isaiah 46 and 10 says, he declares the end from the beginning. God has perfect knowledge of everything. Clear on through the end. And you should listen to our message called Foreknowledge and Faith, the story in between. See, what God has is foreknowledge of the goodness of God that is coming to you. But what you see now is the trouble that you are in. See, what people see today is death. But Jesus says it's not dead. It is alive. It is only sleeping. And when they rolled away the stone, Lazarus came for, but he was still bound. See, and sometimes this is what happens in our lives. When God will roll away certain things, the situation is not entirely, completely resolved. And they come out, they receive some initial deliverance, but they are still bound. They may still be bound by traditions. They may still be bound by various things that are still holding them down. You got to shake those things loose. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I mean, people can tell, you know, I'm sure that every single day that Lazarus lived after he died, people tell, are you sure you're actually leaving? Let me check it out. Praise God. Because, I mean, how many of you ever saw somebody that came out from the grave after 4 days? I've never seen it. After 4 days, I was living among people. But people plotted, the Pharisees of those days, they plotted to kill Lazarus again because the fame of Jesus was growing by leaps and bounds because of this man that was in the grave 4 days. But to Jesus, in the grave 4 days, 40 days, 400 years, it means nothing to the Lord. It's all the same. He can speak one word and he can change that situation. Now, I want you to focus on whatever you think is dead today. It's not dead. It's only asleep, folks. It is only asleep. Can I say, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And God can bring it forth. God can bring forth, just like he can raise the dead, just like he can call the things that are not, call them to come forth, he can bring it forth. And even when something is truly dead, God can still bring it forth. The deadness of Sarah's womb did not prevent the word of the Lord. The Lord said, look, this is going to happen. She said, no, it can't happen. The Lord just had mercy on her. Well, because it was for his own eternal purpose. There was a will that was higher than her negativism. So God just said, well, never mind. It's going to happen anyway. And at this time of life, according to such and such days, it will be. Amen. But it will do you well to believe the word of God. Amen. Believe the word of God. Because nothing can stop his word. The word of God will sustain itself.
Amen.
Once he speaks it, it's done. God will make sure that that word comes to pass. And he doesn't have to do anything. He has emissaries. Well, good ones. You know, because he said God sent his word. And great is the company that makes it happen. Praise the Lord. When he speaks into existence, he has these powers. He has these patrollers and alerters. He has all of these things that are going to make things happen on your behalf. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, when you see the word of God, believe it as it is. The shortest distance from the word of God, the word of promise, to the reality of what you are believing, the shortest distance is a straight line. How many of you know the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line? Hello, any of the kids in school, arithmetic, math, whatever, algebra? The shortest distance, that's the definition of a straight line, folks. Any 2 points that you put in the geographical plane, the shortest distance between those 2 points is a straight line. If you draw a curve, it's longer than a straight line. Now, the shortest distance between the word of promise and you obtaining that word of promise is your faith. The faith is what takes you from where you are to the reality of what God has already seen about you. That's where his foreknowledge is on one extreme of the spectrum and your faith is over here. And the story in between is how you walk day by day using the word of God to move you closer to the promise. And it doesn't matter whether it's a physical promise, a material promise, a spiritual promise, or the promise of promises, which is we are waiting for his coming. Amen.
Yeah.
The promise of promises, whatever it is same, this same faith that's going to move you towards it. By faith we were saved, and by faith we are believing the Lord that he's coming to take a glorious church home. Can you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning, everybody, and let's believe the Lord together. Now, it's not dead, but it's only sleeping. It is only asleep this morning, folks. And the parables of the kingdom, one of them says, look, the kingdom of God is like a seed which a man should plant in the ground. And the man should sleep and wake up day after day, but he doesn't know how. But the seed brings forth of itself. And when you plant seed, folks, I don't know of anybody that will go and dig up the seed after a few days to see if it is growing. No. You weed out the weeds. You give it water. You make sure it has sunshine and all of these things. But you leave the seed in the ground. You don't go dig it up. You put your faith solid in the word of God and you settle it in your heart. And God will do the rest. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. A short exhortation for here this morning. And I am now going to declare the word of God by prayer. Hallelujah. Because of the grace of God that is freely given unto us to declare his word, and he said his spirit will confirm the word, we have that promise here this morning. And because of that, I will be bold to declare unto you today that it is not dead, it is only asleep. Amen. Whatever your hopes and aspirations, the things that you have believed God for, that seem like every time you get this close, everybody else seems to get it, but you don't get it. Whatever it is, I want you to know one thing. God raises the dead. And even to God, it's not dead. It's only asleep. And God is going to say to you today, roll away the stone. Get rid of the unbelief that's keeping you locked in. Roll the stone away. All the people have laid the stone upon him so he won't get out of that grave. They did it also for Jesus. They also put even soldiers there to make sure that the disciples won't come and steal his body. But when it was time, according to the word of promise, the angel of the Lord lighted upon that grave. Hallelujah. And Jesus, he blasted out of that grave. Death could not hold him down. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to lift your hands here this morning. And if you say, I know that there are some things that seem dead in my life. I know that I have struggled, but it always seems like every time I get so close, it's so far. It's like a mirage. You think you are near, and then when you get close, it looks a little further off. Every time you seem to get so close, it just keeps moving. It's like a moving target. Yeah. Jesus said to Martha, right now, not in the resurrection and whatever. Right now, I am the resurrection and the life right now. Faith is now, folks. Not tomorrow, not next year, not in the future. Faith is right now. Now, if you believe God today, I will believe the Lord for you as well. And what I'm going to do is this. I want you to put it in your heart, whatever it is that you are believing God for. Especially the thing that has seemed elusive. It has eluded you somehow up to now. And I want you to believe God. And then I want you to take a step of faith. And I want you to say, today, July 17, 2016, I heard the word of God that it is not dead, only asleep. And I believe, like Jesus said, let me go and wake him out of sleep. That Jesus is going to wake this dream or this situation, whatever it is, that is look like it's been dead. He's going to wake it in my life. Amen. Amen. And if you believe that, and if that's you, every head bowed in this place, I want all heads bowed. Most of the time when I pray, I lift up my head and so forth like that. But sometimes ministers will say that, you know, and you just out of respect, you do that. So I want all heads bowed in this place right now. Don't be looking around. And if you are here this morning, you say, I want God's voice that called Lazarus out of those graves. I want that same voice over my situation this morning. That which I thought was dead, which God has now told me, is not dead, only asleep. I am receiving God's voice to call it to life today. And I am rolling away the stone of unbelief. And I'm settling in my heart, and I'm putting my faith squarely in the Word of God. And that's you today. I want to see your hand up. Every head bowed in this place. I want to pray for the hands that are up. You don't have to lift your hand up if you don't want the prayer. But you believe God. I'm going to believe God with you. And I don't want anybody to come out today. I want all heads bowed. Wherever you are, just raise your hand up. And I don't want anybody looking around to see whose hand is lifted up. Don't worry about it. Now, for those whose hands are lifted up, I am going to believe God with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, they are lifting up their hands to you and not to me. They're not lifting their hands to any man. But we spoke the word of God in just a few minutes over their situation this morning, showing that unto you, what we see as a Red Sea and as a dead end, you already see a clear path through it. For you, Lord, what everybody saw as death and stinking in the graves 4 days, you already saw him as coming out, because you said this sickness is not unto death. For you, Lord, the crooked places that we see every day in our lives, you already saw how you are going to make them to be smooth. For the bitter waters, you've already seen sweetness. For the dryness in the desert, you've already made a river. And you've already seen the river. Now, for the things that appear to have been dead in the lives of these people raising their hands, I speak the word of God today. It is not dead. It is only asleep. Hallelujah. And let every situation now hear the voice of the Lord, reported through my voice. Let the stones be rolled away and take away all those things that are still binding them, and let them come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the miracle, let the deliverance, let the breakthrough, let whatever it is that you are believing God for, let it come out of the graves, because it is not dead. It was only asleep, and now it is time for it to be awake. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Say it again.
Amen.
Let's shout together.
Amen.
Now, the Lord will watch over his word to confirm it.
Amen.
The word of the Lord will not fall to the ground and die.
Yes.
Because the Bible says, as it is with the rain in Isaiah 55, when it comes down to the earth and doesn't go back up, so is my word that has proceeded out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void.
Amen.
But it is more prosper in the thing whereunto I send it, and it will accomplish the purpose for which it was spoken. The purpose for which this word was spoken today is to give you encouragement. And it will be accomplished in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The purpose is for you to believe God. And so it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have said it. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let the praise team come back up, please. Praise team, if you will, come back up quickly. Hallelujah. Amen.